The boy said today's daf is daf Tzadik Aleph, and the beginning of the daf is smack in the middle of a beautiful sugya which began yesterday. And the focus of the sugya is on what we call the Ksuvas Bonin Dichrin. What's the din of Ksuvas Bonin Dichrin? Let's just remember, we learned this earlier in our Masechta, but to do a very, very quick chazar. Let's say a person has two wives, and each wife has five children. So therefore, we have a total of 10 children. When the two wives will pass away, assuming that the wives passed away before the husband, so the husband will yarshin the Yerusha, the Ksuba, from these two wives. And now we'll be a Groisa Oisha, and he has the Ksuba from both of them. Now he passes away subsequently. You have 10 Yarshim, min ha-tayra, the 10 Yarshim all go and shear alike. So let's take a simple example. The first wife was the daughter of a millionaire, and therefore she brought in a nadin of lamushal, $1 million. The second one was a wife of a very poor person, and she brought in $10. So now we have a situation of the husband eventually yarshins both of them, assuming both of them pre-decease the husband. Now we have a total of an estate, and then eventually the husband dies. And assuming that he didn't have more money, less money, exactly the amount of these two ksubas. So what do we have now? In the estate we have $1,010,000. Okay, so what do you have to do? You have to go and split it, minatoyda, 10 ways. So each one is going to go and get a tenth of $1,010,000. Figure out whatever that is, $100,000 plus $1. $100,000, $1 for each one of the 10 kids, minatoyda. The problem is that many, many fathers were reluctant to go and give big nadins to their daughters because they said, you know what's going to happen? We're going to enrich 5 kids from another wife. Why should I do that? I want that the Yerushit should stay with my kids, with my Einiklach, my Ir Einiklach. So what are we going to do? So Chum made this special din of Ksuvas Banan Dichr. Ksuvas Banan Dichr means that in the very situation that we just spoke about, that you have $1 million and $10 from the two women, when the husband eventually dies, instead of going and splitting it all 1,010,000 by all 10 kids, instead 5 children are going to go and receive the ksuba of their mother, meaning they'll split up $1,000,000, and the other 5 will split up $10. That's the way it works in concept. However, the Chachamim added, we don't want to totally undo and undermine Hilchos Nachla and Yerusha min HaTorah, because what's going to happen is, and there's not going to be any Yerusha min HaTorah, it's all going to be based on Artakan Sechamim of the Ksuvas Banan Dichrin. So therefore, there has to be at least something that the Oilim splits Midin Yerusha min HaTorah. And that's something we're going to learn in the next Mishnah Miachim today, and Daf Tzadik Aleph, is what we call a Moiser Dinner. Moiser Dinner means in addition to the million. In addition to the $10, there's got to be also one dinner. And therefore, if there is such a Moiser Dinner, so again, the 5 will go and yashin their million, the other 5 will yashin their $10, and then that Moiser Dinner is going to be split among the 10 boys. Each one will get 1 time. That's the general rule, and all of that is very straightforward. What we did yesterday was discuss a very unusual situation, unusual only in terms of how the Banan Dichrin structure works, but in terms of reality, this is something which probably happens fairly often. What happens fairly often? Instead of having that Reuven married 2 women, and they both predeceased him, they died before him, and then he yarshin both of them, and then eventually he died, and now the yarshin want to go and split the Yerusha. Not in tenths, but rather each one gets the ksuba of their mother. What happens if first Reuven married lady number one, and that lady number one brought in a beautiful Yerusha, $1,000,000, and the Yerusha not of $1,000,000, and unfortunately she passed away. Who yarshins? Her husband yarshins. And then subsequently, the husband decides to remarry. That's why I say that this is fairly common. Unfortunately, one of the 2 spouses passes away, and then the surviving spouse very often will remarry.
But he been married to her before, the second wife.
But she died afterwards.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I'm just saying that it's not only that he took a second wife. Even if they were married before.
Yeah,
she didn't die. That was the whole difference till later.
the Masa is incorrect, but the Lashon HaMishnah wasn't that way. The Mishnah said, Nosas Rishoyna Umesa, Nosas Shniya Umesa. Okay. In the good old days, in the times of before Ben Gersh, it could have been that he was married to two. One died earlier, one died later. But the part in the Mishnah is talking about that first the wife number one passed away. Zaytzachos from Chazal, there are other Gemaras too that suggest that even though there was a heter to go and marry more than one, but nevertheless, the normal shtag was he married one wife, which of course makes a lot of sense. Anyway, so after he was married,
and Suris Adoyim.
So he married one wife. The one wife, unfortunately, passed away. He yarshined the whole thing, and then he remarried, and now he passed away, and now eventually the second wife passes away. Okay, let's not talk about the second wife passing away. The Baal, she's still a levidika. If you don't have to kill someone, good. So again, the first wife died first, the husband yarshined, he remarried, now he's married to the second wife, and now Nebuchadnezzar, husband passes away. It could be a day later, it could be 20 years later. But Lamas, he passed away, and now we have this almana that's there. And the almana goes now to the yesoimim, some of which happen to be her yesoimim, some of which happen to be the first wife's yesoimim, and says, oh, I want to receive my ksuba. And she's entitled to, because any woman that the husband either gives her a get, or that the husband passes away, she's entitled to her ksuba. Now that ksuba goes before any Yerusha, just like any other debt of an estate. Any estate of a person that passes away, you cannot divide up the estate among the Yerushim until all debts are paid. So one of the debts happens to be that ksuba. Good. Even if that second wife dies subsequent to the first husband, in other words, subsequent to the husband, also that's a debt. Because when the husband died, one of his debts was to go and pay the ksuva payment. If the second wife is still alive, you pay it to her. And if she dies subsequently, then you pay it to her yarshim. But they get din kadima over the first set of yarshim, because now the husband has to pay, and his estate has to go and pay the ksuva. Fine. So what happened was, that's what the Gemara calls achas b'chayiv v'achas b'moiseh. Achas b'chayiv means that the first wife died when the first husband is alive. Achas b'moiseh means that the second wife died after the second husband had already died.
There's no two husbands.
I'm sorry, when I say second, you're right. I'm sorry. Again,
no,
you're 100%, yeah, I'm already confused. Again, you have one husband and two wives. Achas b'chayiv v'achas b'moiseh means that the first wife died when the husband was still alive, the single husband was still alive. V'achas b'moiseh means that the second wife died when the first and only husband was still alive. Okay, anyway, again, two wives, one husband. Achas b'chayiv v'achas b'moiseh. Wife number one died, and husband still alive. That's the achas b'chayiv. Subsequently, the husband died, and now the second wife died. So that second wife died achas b'moiseh after the husband had already passed away. Good. Now we have 10 yorshim over here, and the 10 yorshim have to go and decide what we're going to do. What we have to do is that the estate first has to go and pay off the second 5 yorshim. They have to go and pay off the ksuba of the money. That's clearly a debt, just like any other debt. There may have been mortgages, he may have borrowed money from Yankel, Beryl, Shmerel. Everybody, all the people that he owed money to have to be paid off, including to that second wife who died. So therefore, the second group of Yarshim, second group of Yesoimim, are entitled now to Yarshim, the Ksuba of their mommy. And they get it. They're now out of the picture. That's done. Okay. Now, the estate has paid for all of its debts. And now, we still have an estate that has to be split up among the Yarshim. Okay, so who are now the Yarshim? We have the 5 Yarshim from wife number one. We have the 5 Yarshim from wife number two. The 5 Yarshim from wife number one, they would like to go and take the entire estate. Because the entire estate that's left equals the amount of the ksuba. Add in moiseh dinner so we don't get into problems with moiseh dinner. But the value is the amount of the ksuba. Meaning, let's talk about our case again, that the first wife left $1 million, and the nadin was $1 million. The second wife, the nadin was $10. The second wife and the second wife's yorshim have already gotten their $10 because the estate paid them off, so they're out of the picture as far as their ksuba is concerned. That's all been paid. But now we have the 10 Yorushim getting together in a room saying, okay, now let's split up the estate. We've paid up all the debts. Let's go and split up the estate. How much is the estate? $1 million. All 10 of them would like to go and get $100,000 each. The first 5 Yorushim say, oh, no. Don't forget the Ksuvzban and Dichrin. We want to get the entire $1 million for ourselves. And the second group of Yorushim say, no, we want to go and split that with you. Now, if both of them were splitting up and getting their Ksuvzban and Dichrin at this point, then that's what Chazal say. The first 5 get their $1 million. The second 5 will get their $10. They'll split up the Moiser dinner among all the 10 of them. However, here the second group of Yorushim are not Yashining the Ksuba's Ban and Dichr, because they've already received the Ksuba as a result of the fact that they Yashined their mother. Because their mother died after the father died. So they already got the Ksuba. So they're done in terms of their Ksuba with the Nechsem Lugan, with the Nechsem Tzim Basel, Ban and Dichr. That's all been paid for. It's out. But now we have the remaining Ksuvas Banan Dichrim of the first wife, where the first 5 Yorshim say, we want to take that all for themselves. The other 5 Yorshim say, no, we want to share in that. So he's saying, what business? Why should they share in that? They have Ksuvas Banan Dichrim. The reason why they should share in that is because the second group of Yorshim say, what you're doing is you're denying us any Yerusha from our father. Because what we received was the Yerusha from our mommy. We got the Yerusha of the Ksuba. But that was the debt that was owed to her. That we received. That's done. But we haven't gotten any Yerusha from our father yet. And therefore we want to go and share. And according to their Svara, they're saying that the din of Ksuvas Banan Dichrin does not apply in such a case. It only applies when there are multiple Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, where you have 2 groups of Yorshim, each one of them wanting to go and get their ksuba of their mami. Oh, in such a case, the Chacham said, instead of splitting everything 10% across the board for all 10 Yisayimim, 5 will get their ksuba, the other 5 will get the other ksuba. But here, when it's Achas b'moisei, Achas b'chayv, Achas b'moisei, there is only 1 ksuba's bana dichrin, and therefore now we have tension between the first 5 and the second 5. So what's the din? Says the Gemara, and toward the end of yesterday's blot, it's a machloikis tanoim, and that's where we're going to start, 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. V'hani tanoi ki hani tanoi. This is in fact a machloikis tanoim, in this case of achas bechayiv v'achas b'moisoi, whether or not there is a din of ksuvas ban and dichrin. This is like we learned in the Braiso. No, says Rishoyin, the husband first married wife number 1, umeis, and then she died. And then Nosis Ashniya. Now, okay, before we continue on, because of the fact that wife died, the husband yashined her ksuba. The ksuba now, whatever it was, $1 million in the Nadin, now it all belongs to him. And he holds it, and he uses it, he invests it, he spends it, it's his. Good. Subsequently, Nosis Ashniya, now he marries wife number 2. And now, Umeis Hu. And now, he died. So what happens? Says the Gemara, "Boyim b'neir shalzu li'achem misa v'noitlin ksuba siman." So the poshut pshat in this Gemara, like Rashi says, means that the b'neir shalzu, zu meaning wife number 2, they come li'achem misa after their father has passed away, as well as their mother has passed away, v'noitlin ksuba siman, and they said, "You have debts to pay. This estate cannot be divided up among the years until you pay all the debts." One of the debts, Ksuba Siman. You're right. We pay the Ksuba Siman. Aledict finished. Now, what the Tana says after that is not clear, because he doesn't address it. He just says we pay the second group, the Ksuba Siman, and what happens? I don't know. But let's see from Reb Shimon. Obviously, there's a machloikis, otherwise he wouldn't have a second man yomer. So Reb Shimon oimer im yesh moiser dinner. If the estate has not only the $1 million of ksuba number 1 of the first mami, but is also moise dinner, then elu noitlin ksuba siman, the elu noitlin ksuba siman. Then the first one will go and take the ksuba's ban and dichrin, and if there's anything left, we can talk about the second one. The imlav, but if not, chokim ishova, then they go and split it across the board. So what do I see from Reb Shimon? The Reb Shimon does hold the din of ksuva's ban and dichrin, even though we've paid off mami number 2 and the yorshim of mami number 2. Aha! My love, okimivligi. Since Reb Shimon hits the nail on the head, he specifically addresses this issue, and he says, yes, there is a din of ksuva's ban and dichrin, as long as there's a moiser dinner. Obviously, the Tanakhama who apparently disagrees, holds that there is no ksuvas banim dichrit. And therefore, what's the machlokes? The marasova achaz b'chayv, achaz b'moisei, yesh lan ksuvas banim dichrit, meaning that's Reb Shimon speaking, because he said, if there's a moisei dinner, there is. Umarasova, the Tanakhama says, achaz b'chayv, achaz b'moisei, eilem ksuvas banim dichrit, then this din of ksuvas banim dichrit does not apply, and therefore, all 10 yoshim are going to go and split evenly the ksuba of wife number 1. Is that the machlokes? No. The kuliyamus konzayin. Everybody holds achaz b'chayv achaz b'moisei. Yesh lan ksuvas banim dichrit. The din of ksuvas banim dichrit applies not only when the two women die before the husband, but even when one died before and one died later. Same din of ksuvas banim dichrit applies. What's the machlokes? We keep on saying that the din, you have to have a moisa dinner. Now, by the way, where do we take that from? That's the next Mishnah lower down on today's Omer Aleph. If you go down to the second of the wide lines, you'll see at the end of the line it says, Hoyisham Moiser Dinner, Elu Neutling Suvas Iman, Velu Neutling Suvas Iman, to establish the din of Suvas Banadichan, there has to be an additional Moiser Dinner. Now the question is,
even though we had before Sheet, that the payment of the Ksuvas is the Moiser
Dinner. I didn't want to get
the Gemara completely
That we had yesterday. Yeah, we're going to get back to it, Mitchum. We're not done.
We do come back.
Baruch Hashem. Chazor, Alstom Tzrikim. But now the question is, what's the definition? How do you define moiser dinner? A dinner, of course, is the name of a coin. Moiser dinner means in addition to the ksuvas banim dichrit, there's an extra coin called a dinner. So now, does it mean that it's literally a coin? Or do we mean that there is karka, the value of that coin? Why does it have to dafka be karka? Because we've said in the past that the ksuvas banim dichrit, just like the rest of the ksuva, is a shibud on karkois. So now the question is that moiser dinner also have to be in the form of real estate, or can it even be in the form of cash or metalkalim? Meaning that in this case, explains Rashi, in addition to the amounts that there were to pay off ksuba number 1 and ksuba number 2, there was an additional moiser dinner in metalkalim. And this is worth a mushar dinner. In addition to the million for wife number 1, $10 for wife number 2, we had a moiser dinner. But it was metalkalim. So, the question is that enough for purposes of the halacha of moiser dinner for the ksuvas banim dichrit? The Tanakhama says that it has to dafka be karka. So even though there's a moiser dinner of metalkalim, that's not enough. Since it's not enough, we are not going to divide up the estate by the din of ksuvas banim dichrit, but it's all going to be shava b'shava, all 10 are going to yarsh in the entire 1,000,010, or in this case, the 1,000,000, because the 10 we already paid off, they're all going to split it, 100,000 each. This is a moiser dinner. But metalton is gunish, it's got to be makaka. Says Reb Shimon, even if that moiser dinner is metalton, that's also enough for our purposes, and therefore, the first 5 yorshim will get their entire $1,000,000, and the second group of yorshim will only get a tenth of that moiser dinner. Everybody will cut this in 10 pieces, and everybody will get 1/10 of the metalton. So that's the machlokes. Can you really say that that pshat in the machloikis that Reb Shimon holds that moiser dinner can even be in metalklin? Votanan, the Mishnah which we're going to learn in another few minutes down on our Umar Aleph, Reb Shimon Oimer, afilu yesh sham nechosim she'ein lehem machrayis, even if you have a bunch of nechosim, ein lehem machrayis means metalklin, which means even if it's worth not just a moiser dinner, even $1,000. Theoretically, even $1,000,000 means the chosh ein lemachayis ein and klumus is garnished for purposes of ksuvas banim dichrit at sheisham nechosim sheyesh lenachrayis yeser al beis ksuvas dinner. You have to have nechosim gezuntai. You have to have nechosim sheyesh lenachrayis, which means karkois yeser. In addition to the value of the two ksuvas, that extra karka has to have the value of a dinner. So I see very clearly that Reb Shimon does require that the moiser dinner be karka. So you cannot say that that's pshat in this machloikis between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon is the one that's meikel and says that even if it's only metalklin, it says very clearly it has to be karka. Elohacha b'dinah mishavika miflegi. Ah, the machloikis is by dinah mishubadim. What means dinah mishubadim? That, let's assume again, we have in the estate the $1 million for ksuba number one. We have $10 for ksuba number two. In addition to that, there's a piece of karka to go and pay off a balchoiv, but it's mishubad. Mishubad means that there's a lien on this property to go and pay off various creditors. And therefore, this property will never be part of the estate to be subdivided and allocated among the heirs, among the yarshim, because we're going to have to go and pay it off to creditors. So the question is, maskim, but since at the time of the patira of Reuven, when he died, he left over as part of his estate the amount of ksuvas banan dichrim of wife number one, the ksuvas banan dichrim of wife number two, plus a whole bunch of other real estate, which is not going to remain within the estate, because this is going to go and be paid to creditors. Question is that all too sufficient to have the din of the moisa dinner? Even though we're never going to subdivide it among the yorishim, but like Rapinchas said yesterday, that Rapinchas said now, like we learned in the Gemara yesterday, that the fact that you pay off either a ksuba or pay off a shtar choyv, that in itself is part of the kiyum of the hilchis nachlim in the Torah. Because the Torah tells you, before you go and subdivide the Yerusha, you have to pay off your creditors. Oh, so I have mishubadim and I'm going to pay those guys off. And those mishubadim were worth at least the moisa dinner.
All of them pay that off.
All of them paid off, right. El hacha b'din mishabdi kamiflegi. Mar sab b'nei choyrin im mishabdi loy. The Tanakhama says that the moisa dinner has to be b'nei choyrin. B'nei choyrin means that it's free of any liens. So this will be split up eventually among the 10 yarshim. Then you have the din of ksuvas banan dichrim. Mar sab the tzvaita man dim zok. No. Afilim mishabdi. In other words, Reb Shimon again is meikel. He says, even if you don't have b'nei choyrin, even if you have property which is not going to be subdivided 10% among the 10 yarshim, but it's going to be handed over to creditors. Also, that's enough for moisa dinner purposes. So, Gemara, ihachi, if that's the pshat, then why does it say Reb Shimon Oimer im yesha moisa dinner? Rather, it should say kiven sheyesha moisa dinner mivayle. Meaning, the Tanakhama also agrees that there is in this equation, in this scenario, a moisa dinner. So what's Reb Shimon saying? Im yesha moisa dinner. Tanakam, there's a moisa dinner, I agree. The problem is that the moisa dinner is defective, it's inferior, because it's mishubadim. So what Reb Shimon should come and say is, as long as a moisa dinner, any way you can go and color it, whether that moisa dinner is mishubadim, I thought originally metalklin, not dushanisht. But even if it's still mishubadim, it's enough mivayle. So why does it say, im yesha moisa dinner, it should say, kiven sheyesha, as long as there's some sort of moisa dinner, even the form of mishamadim, that's enough. Says the Gemara, okay, you're right. A nufshat. El bapachas mi dinner kamiflegi. Rather, let's say the machloikis is what happens if you didn't have a moisa dinner. Maybe the moisa dinner is lav dafka. You have to have lechol apachas a shava pruta lemoshel. Who says it has to be dafka moisa dinner? And therefore, maybe that's the machloikis. Mar sovar dinner in pachas mi dinner loy. The Tanakhama says, make sure you have a full dinner, and if you only have a half a dinner, it's a nizginik, and that's why there's no ksuvas banan dichrin. Or mar sovar, it's right to understand, I feel a pachas mi dinner. Even if it's less than a dinner, as long as you have something, it's also enough to be mekayim ksuvas banan dichrin. Says Yimara, just kind of Reb Shimon didn't come. Reb Shimon himself, if you look back, what Reb Shimon said, Reb Shimon Oimer im yesh sham moise dinner. It's up to moise dinner. Not talking about pachas mida. It's got to be a moise dinner. So that cannot be the pshat either. Maybe we should go and split it around. What means we should go and split it around? Let's go and say, not split it, we should turn it around. And we should go and say the Tanakam is the one that says, you don't need a moisa dinner. And Reb Shimon is coming to me, Machmer, and says, no. If you want to do ksuvas banan dichrim, there has to be a moisa dinner. I, Tanakama the Masisa Nami dinner ka'amar. Everybody agrees to this moisa dinner. Even the Tanakama of the Mishnah. Who's the Tanakama of the Mishnah? That's the Mishnah down below, which we're going to learn again in another few minutes in Yetz Hashem. If you just turn quickly down to the Mishnah, it says, Misha Yenosi Shtei Noshim, Meisu Viakach, Meisu Viasavim, Mevakshik Suvas Iman, the Ein Shemel Shtei Ksuvois, if there's exactly the amount of two Ksuvois, okay, Bishova. Aisha Moise Dinner, then I'll know it to Ksuvois Iman, then I'll know it to Ksuvois Iman. That's the Tanakama. And after that, we have another three lines later. Rav Shimon Omer, affiliation, nechosim, etc. So I see that even the Tana Kama requires a moisa dinner. And says Rashi, the assumption is that just like in this Mishnah, the two Baalei Plukta are the Tana Kama, together with Reb Shimon. Here in this price, we also had Tana Kama and Reb Shimon. And just like the Tana Kama of our Mishnah says, it's got to be a moiser dinner, so then the Tana Kama of this price also holds you have to have a moiser dinner. So everybody holds you have to have a moiser dinner. So this teretz of a chutzi dinner doesn't work. So let's go back. So what's Taka the Machloikis? Are we forced to say that the Machloikis Tana Kama and Reb Shimon is whether there's a din of Ksuvas Bon and Dichrin or not? So Zimor, no. Bemis, everybody holds taka, there is a din of ksuvas bon and dichrin. In such a case of achas b'chayim v'achas b'moisai. So what's the machlokes? Eliki hanach trei lishnoi kamoi. We're going to go back to the first two pshatim that we said at the top of the omud, meaning machlokes whether or not moisai dinner of metalpli is enough, or it's got a dafka be karka, or whether it's got a dafka be b'nei choyrin or even mishubadim, the eipach, and switch it around. What means switch it around? Until now, we constantly assumed that Reb Shimon is the makel one, and say, you don't have to have dafka b'nei choyrin, even mishubadim is enough. You don't have to have karka, even metalton is enough. And then we ask kashas in each one. So taka, switch it around. It's the Tana Kama that holds that metalton is enough for the moise dinner. Says Reb Shimon, no. And yesh, moise dinner of karka, but not a metalton. Or, second shot, the Tana Kama says, even mishubadim is enough. Says Reb Shimon, mishubadim is not enough. And yesh, moise dinner of b'nei choyrin, that's good. So therefore, we don't have to change any of the words in the Brice. In fact, the words in the Brice are much better now. Because the Gemara asked, if Reb Shimon is the one that's meiko, he shouldn't say im yesh moise dinner. He should say kiven shi yesh moise dinner. But now, according to this new pshat, it works very nicely. It's the Tana Kama that's the one that's the meiko and says you don't have to have a moise dinner of karka, even metalklit. Says Reb Shimon, im yesh moise dinner of karka, then elenoitam elenoitam. Or according to the second teretz of the Gemara, that the Tana Kama says, and when it comes to the moise dinner, even mishubadim, says Reb Shimon, im yesh moise dinner, if you have moise dinner, b'nei choyrin, yeah, but not mishubadim. So according to this pshat, then everything works out very nicely, and therefore, bottom line, both man diyamrim hold that there is a din of ksuvas ban and dichrin, even though it was achas b'chaya v'achas b'moisai, so that Baruch Hashem, the yorshim of their first ksuba, they can go and take their entire ksuba and they do not have to share it with the yorshim of the second wife. But make sure that there's at least a moisa dinner to mekayim the din of splitting it up among all the ten, the Yerusha, the Nachlam, and Atayim. So the maisa, how do we paskin now? Omer Marzutu Mishmei de Rapapa Hilchasa Achz Bechayev Yachz Bemoise Yesh Len Ksuvas Bon and Dichrin, and that's number one. And number two, you don't have to have physically a moise dinner, but rather, like we learned yesterday, Uksuvan Nasas Moise L'Chaverta. If you pay off Ksuvan number two to the second group of Yorishim, you pay them off first, and then you go and examine the estate, and the only thing that's left is the exact amount that equals the ksuba of wife number one. There is no moise dinner, not even a chutzi dinner. Makes no difference. Since we paid off the ksuba number two, that in itself is like the moise. Why is that the moise? Like Rashi explained yesterday, because the whole kavan of Chazal to say you have to add the moise dinner is so that we shouldn't go and abandon and undermine Hilchus Yerusha Min HaTayr. And if you're going to go and say that if there's the exact amount of the ksuba ban and dichrim of one and ksuba ban and dichrim of two, and there's nothing left besides that, then where have you been mekayim the din of splitting up the nachlam among all the 10 kids equally? So it's got to be a moise dinner as long as that amount is split up evenly. Ksuvas bon and dichrin. What our Gemara adds, and we learned that already from the Mishnah yesterday with the three Shema Minas, we learned is that even if the payment of debts, which is also a requirement and obligation on every estate, that payment of debts, that also is sufficient for purposes of the moise dinner. And what's the case over here? Since wife number two died after wife number one, so therefore the estate had to pay off wife number two and her yorshim, the dead, like they had to go and pay the bali choyv, Yankel, Beryl, and Shmerel. They also had to go and pay the children of Ruchel. They had to go and pay that ksuba. Oh, you had to go and pay that ksuba. That in itself is considered to be the fulfillment of Yerushim and Atoira, and therefore even though the Yerushim that's left over is only exactly the amount of the ksuvas ban dichim of wife number one, you give everything to those five yorshim, and you do not have to split it among the ten equally. So that's what Rameimer concludes. Yeah, it's good.
No, I was just add that the payment is considered they're all doing the payment. Ah. So that's why they're equal in that.
What you're saying is good, but yesterday in the Gemara wanted to Rabba wanted to distinguish between a Bal Choyv and between Ksuvas Isha. Because he said by Bal Choyv, all ten of them are paying, while Ksuvas Isha, only the first five are paying to the second five. So the second five are not payers, so they're recipients. That Rabba distinguished between the two. Uh-huh. That was yesterday's Gemara. Anyway, so Marzutra said this, Mishmei de Rabba, that we pass in these two halachs. Number one, Achz B'chai B'chai B'moyse, Yesh L'Ksuv B'an Tichren. And number two, Ksuv B'Nas is Moyse L'Chavit. So the Gemara is bothered by, why did he have to go and say two separate halachas? Isn't really one totally in the other. In other words, isn't really one a subset of the other. So let's analyze. V'ishloy me'i ashme'in an Achz B'chai V'Achz B'moyse, Yesh L'Ksuv B'an Tichren. V'loy ashme'in an Ksuv B'Nas is Moyse L'Chavit. If he'd only tell us halacha number one without halacha number two. Oh, I would need to know halacha number two. Because without it, havamina, I would think, maybe the payment of the ksuba, that is not deemed to be the equivalent of a moise dinner, and therefore it's very important to say both halachas. Halacha number one, that achz b'chayv achz b'moisai, there's a dinner ksuba's bun and dichrin. And number two, that you don't have to worry about that the estate have yet an additional moise dinner by the repayment of the ksuba of wife number two. That in itself was the kiyum that did nachlam in a Torah. That's the equivalent of a moise dinner. You don't need more than that. So therefore, knowing halacha number one would not be sufficient. I need to know also halacha number two. But Freyti Yomara, Elishmein and Ksuba Nasim with Moise Lechavita, Vano Yedana Mishim Da Chois, the Achas Bechai, the Achas Bemoise, Yeshlan Ksuba's Ban and Dichon. In other words, let him only say halacha number two. What's halacha number two? He should go and say that Ksuba Nasim Moise Lechavita. Now what means it becomes Moise Lechavita? In other words, that's the Moiser dinner that we are looking for. Then why do I have to have a moise dinner? Oh, because we're talking about ksuvas ban adichren. But how is it ksuvas ban adichren if it's achas b'chayv, achas b'moise? A muzduch zayin that this Tana, or this Amoira, Marzut, Mishmeida, Papa, holds that the din of achas b'chayv, the achas b'moise, is a din of ksuvas ban adichren. So let him just say halacha number two. Rabbi, I got good news for you. When you're paying off the second wife, her ksuva, that is the moise dinner. So then people say, what does he mean? He paid off the moise. Oh, moise dinner. That was a code word to tell me ksuvas ban adichren. How is there ksuvas ban adichren over here? It was achas b'chayv, achas b'moise. Oh, and mustachaltin the achas b'chayv, the achas b'moise, yesh ben ksuvas ban adichren. So, Frank Tibor, what does he have to say both for? Elishmeiran. Let him only say halacha number two. The ksuvas nas is moise b'chavata, v'ani yodana mishum the achas b'chayv, the achas b'moise, yesh ben ksuvas ban adichren. Everything more 9999. If you'd only say halacha number two and not halacha number one, I wouldn't know the din of the achas b'chayv, achas b'moise. Why? Because it could have been the following. Have a minute going shenosa shalosh noshim. This person married three women. Umesu shtayim b'chayv. Two of them died before the husband died, so therefore he yarshin two of them, and therefore you already are thinking in your heads, years later when the husband will die, there'll be ksubas ban and dichren of those two ksubas, these two groups of yarshim, and the achas, and the third lady, the third wife, passed away, the moise, after the husband passed away, right? Aha. And therefore, and, v'hach de mais la'acha misa, the one that passed away, the third, yiletis nekevihi. She only gave birth to girls, not to boys. Maybe even multiple girls. She may have even had 10 girls. Well, the Maaseh said she had no boys. And therefore, v'lav bas Yerushahi. And therefore, those girls are not bas Yerusha, meaning that since they are going to, if and when they come to the table, and they're going to want to share and share alike with the other Yerushim of the first two wives, assuming that the first two wives had boys, and the third one only had girls, those girls are not going to get Yerushim and HaTorah, because we know the Mishnah says in Yesh Nochlet, and the Pusik says that if there's a ban, then the Bas does not get Yerusha.
They get Mazinus or whatever.
Exactly.
Dowry.
Right. But so now, let's get back to our Gemara. So what is the Gemara's Teretz? The Gemara's Teretz is, in such a situation where you have 2 plus 1, two wives that died before the husband, one that died after the husband. Okay, so now we all sit down to divide up the estate. No, the first thing is you gotta go and pay off your debts. I paid off your uncle already, I paid off Beryl, I paid off Shmerel, and I also have to pay the Yorshim of the Ksuba of wife number 3. It's all two of them, because the husband died before the wife died. So therefore he had a debt to go and pay that third wife. Okay. So what happens if they pay that whole debt, that third ksuba, they're fine, they're good, let's 1 second. And now we look at the remainder of the estate.
The daughters get it, of course, if there's only daughters.
Let's finish.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a question, who's the ksuba going to? You say you pay off that third ksuba. Who's it going to? It's one to those very brothers, isn't it?
There are no brothers there, only girls.
No, so you're saying that girl, her half-brothers, I mean, she's a Yorish, the brothers, the half-brothers inherit the father. I mean, who's that ksuba going to? Everything's clear, but now you're saying that...
Let's not talk about ksuba banadechan. Let's talk about a husband and wife, a regular husband and wife. Mr. Smith was married to Mrs. Smith. They, Baruch Hashem, had 12 girls, every one of them a tzatzka, each one married a ben toira, a gudel b'Yisrael. So, Mrs. Rosenberg, Mrs. Greenberg, Mrs. Greenstein, all, and they're tznuois, tzidkonius, just like the five ben oislavcha. Good, chachmonius, tzidkonius, fine. Now, the husband unfortunately passed away, the father, and now, who's supposed to yarshin from the, not yarshin, who's supposed to receive the ksuba? The mother's supposed to receive the ksuba. The mother unfortunately passes away. So what happens to all of the ksuba of the mother? Does it all go to Hefker, to the government, or does it go to the daughters?
In that case, if there are no brothers,
we're talking about, are you masculine in this case that they get it?
Yes.
Good, excellent. What's the reason why the kids get it? Not because they are Yorshim of the father, because they're Yorshim of the mother. The mother had a ksuba of $1 million, then they Yorshim that ksuba from their mother. Good. What happens now that besides that $1 million ksuba, there also happens to be another $1 million because the father was a wealthy man. Who's going to get that $1 million? All to these girls. In a case, just Mr. and Mrs. Smith. The girls are going to get it because there are no other Yarshim. Everybody, you agree fully. Good. So now, let's get back to our case. Our case, you had Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but you had 3 Mrs. Smiths. You had the first 2 that passed away before Smith passed away, and then you have 1 that passed away afterwards. Good. Now, there's a lot of money in the estate. We'll figure out exactly how much in a moment, but first, the estate has to pay off all debts. There was Mr. Smith had borrowed money from Yankel. We pay off Yankel. Beryl, we pay off Beryl. We pay Shmerel. Oh, there's another debt too. And that is the third Mrs. Smith deserves to get her ksuba. Good. Oh, Mrs. Smith, where are you? She's in the Beis HaChaim, and she passed away already. So who's going to go and get her ksuba? Her Yarshim. Who are her Yarshim? She has a bunch of girls. So far, so good. Yeah, you look all concerned and consternated and puzzled. So far, so good.
Why don't the half brothers inherit?
We're not up to the inheritance yet.
No, first, we have to pay off
debts.
So, because ksuba is a debt, it's not Torah Yerusha, it's Torah Chov. That's yesterday's Gemara.
Exactly, yesterday's Gemara.
So, because I had mistakenly been thinking it would go to the half brothers through Yerusha, that they inherit in half brothers to their half sister from the third Mrs. Smith. They'd inherit that liability. But you're saying no, because it's a chov, it's not Torah Yerusha, and it goes to her.
Exactly right.
That's my question.
So no problem.
In this case, since the husband died before the third wife, doesn't she get the whole...
That wife should get the ksuba. And in fact, after the shiva, she sets the shiva in Nebuch, and everything, thousands of menachem came, and she gets it from the shiva, and now she's ready to go and send in her bill, I want to get my ksuba. And guess what happened? She was so overcome by grief, by all the tanchumen and all this, Nebuch, she passed away.
You have no idea, the
5 girls had to sit 2 weeks in a row, one after the father, one after the mother. It was terrible. It's heartbreaking.
This is different than the scenario where she had, years later she passed away?
It could be the same thing, even 20 years later. Until she gets her ksuba, it's a choif. A woman doesn't have to demand the choif.
Why does she get her ksuba? If she got her ksuba first,
it's a benefit for not asking for the ksuba immediately. What's the benefit? As long as she does, she gets mzainus. She gets the support and sustenance.
But so if she did take it, it would be a different scenario than what.
As soon as she gets her ksuba, then she doesn't get mzainus anymore.
But as far as the daughters then go,
yes,
they would be.
So what happens if the woman taka did get her ksuba? So now she owns the ksuba. Fine. Now eventually the mother passes away, so then her daughters are going to go and get the Yerusha from the mother.
And that's it.
That's what they're going to get in terms of their mother. In terms of the father, they'll never get because the father left over another bunch of boys from mother, so they're not going to share Minotai. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to clarify.
Yes,
Barry's point.
Yes, Barry's point.
The money's all in the estate.
Right.
But the Balchayiv, meaning the Ksuva, it's part of that Yerusha. That Yerusha, that estate goes to the Balchayiv first. Then they
it's not Yerusha.
The assets of the estate.
The whole difference.
It's not Yerusha. It's the assets of the estate.
Correct.
Pay off the creditors, right. Then pay off.
Right. Exactly right. Right.
Yerusha. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
You're both saying the same thing. You're using different terms.
Exactly.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, so far so good. We're all in order. And okay, but we haven't finished the Gemara yet. So now we have again the three women. And now Baruch Hashem, the estate had enough funds to pay off Yerusha number 3, which not Yerusha Ksuva number 3, because that was a debt, and therefore that goes Din Kedima before everybody else. That was the Mishnah yesterday. Fine, that's paid off. Now we have 10 Yorshim at the table. The 5 Yorshos, the daughters of the third one, unfortunately don't come to the table because we tell them, Ben gets and not the bas. Okay, so they're not going to participate now in the Yerusha of the father. They got the Ksuba of their mother, which wasn't the Yerusha, that was the Ksuba, the Yerusha from the mother, if you want. It was a Choiv, that was paid by the father's estate. They're out of the picture now. Now the question is, let's go and split up the estate among the first two women, which the two women are dead, but the Yorshim are the first two women. And there are, Baruch Hashem, 5 boys from the first, 5 boys from the second. The first Ksuba was $1 million. The first Nadin was $1 million. The second was only $10. And guess what? There's exactly $1,010,000 now at the time that the father passed away. There's no Moisa dinner. What are we going to do? Said Marzutim Shmeid Rapop, the fact that we paid off the Choiv to wife number 3, that in itself is a kiyum of Hilchois Yerushim and Atayra, because the Rabbeinu Shalom says, before the ears should receive, first you gotta pay off all Choivis. You paid off that Choiv, now we have exactly $1,010,000, fine! $1 million will go to the 5 Yerushim number 1, and the other 10 will go to the group of Yerushim and number 2, the other 5 Yerushim. There was no Moisa dinner. There was a Moisa dinner. What was the Moisa dinner? That we paid off Ksuba number 3. So now coming back to Marzutu Mishmei Dera Papa, had he only said the second halacha, that Ksuba Nas is Moisa L'chavirta, that's our case. That the third Ksuba, that's the Moisa, you don't have to have the Moisa dinner. But it's not an Achas B'chai, the Achas B'moisa case, because the split up of the Ksuba's Banan Dichron is talking about two women that both died pre-deceased the husband.
Both of them
are getting pre-deceased. It's not a question of Achas B'chai that only one of them is getting because of the predeceased. Both of them, because there were 3 women over here. So therefore I wouldn't know what the din is, Achas B'chai, Achas B'moisa. That's why it's not enough just to go and say halacha number 2. Again, Zukti Yomara, Iyashmin and Hachi, 5 lines before the white lines. Iyashmin Hachi, if it would only say the second halacha, have a minute go to Nasa Sholish Noshim. Umeis Ishtai, Mechai, Yaviachas, Vemoisoi, Vahach, Demais, Lacher Misa, your letters in the cave, Yivala, Bas Yerushi, they're no Yorshim, so to speak, they're only Yorshos. And therefore they're not going to go and split the Yerusha with the other 10 boys. But we're going to go and pay her off first, and those your shows first, because it's a choiv like to Yankel Ber El Shmel, is a choiv to the daughters of Mrs. Smith for Ksuba number 3, and that's the Moisa dinner. And now we have to split up. Now let's go back to the Ksuba's Banan Dichram of 5 Yorshim of first Mrs. Smith, 5 Yorshim of second Mrs. Smith. There would be a din of taka, that's the classic case of Ksuba's Banan Dichram, that 2 women predeceased the husband, now you're going to split it up according to the Ksuba of their mommies. There's no Moisa dinner. We took care of the Moisa dinner by paying off Ksuba number 3. But I still don't know the din of Achas B'chai v'Achas v'Moisei. Says Yimar, Aval Achas B'chai v'Achas v'Moisei. The Hodil Achas Misa, you let a Zohar he. What happens in the case that we've been discussing yesterday and today, where there are only 2 women? And the first woman died before the husband. The second woman died after the husband. And that second woman didn't have girls, had boys. So now what happens is, if we're going to pay off Ksuba number 2 first, as a result of the fact that that happens to be a choiv of the estate, and now all that's left over is the amount of the Ksuba's Banan Dichram of the first one, Eimo Lechesh L'Mtsuyeh, the second group of Yorshim could go and scream and say, no, it's not fair. We should also get a part of the Yerusha of our father. Everything that we've gotten until now is just a Yerusha from mommy, from our mother. Because our mother had this Choyev, you paid off the Choyev, we got it, Shkoyev, so that was our mommy. But we didn't get anything from the father. Ksuvas Banan Dichron. Ksuvas Banan Dichron is maybe only when there are two groups of Ksuvas Banan Dichron where the two women predeceased. But if one only one predeceased and one died afterwards, maybe there is no din of Ksuvas Banan Dichron, and therefore we, the second group of Yorushim, want to split and split alike and share it equally. So that's maybe Marzutra would agree to that. Kamash Malon, that's why Marzutra has to go and tell us both halachas, that the din of Ksuvas Banan Dichron applies in Ba'achas B'chai V'achas B'moysai, as well as halacha number two, the Ksuvanas is Moysai Lech. It was a very geshmak sugya, Rabbeisai, and if you thought that we're over, we're back into it smack back in the middle in this new Mishnah, because the Mishnah Tak addresses this halachas of the Mishnah. Misha hayu nosu shtei nashim, person was married to two women. Now the classic case, v'mesu, and both of them died before the husband, so therefore he yarshened everything from them. V'yachkach mes hu, and now he died. Now when he died, the Yorushim want to go and split it up according to their ksubos. V'yisoyim mevakshim ksubos iman. Now the presumably only the real rich ones are going to want to get the ksuba of their mami. But l'maasa, that's the din of ksubos banan dichron. If there's an estate now of $1,000,000 and $10, the first five guys want to get their million, the second five guys will get their $10. If the ein shom elish dei ksubos, if the entire estate only equals those shtei ksuvos or less. So therefore, if you're going to go and split it up, you're not going to have any Yerusha min ha-Torah, then Chokim Meshavah, then you have to split it up equally, and it's very, very sad for the first five Yerushim. But that's Talucha, the din of ksuvos banan dichron doesn't supersede and trump the Hilchas Yerusha min ha-Torah. There's got to be some din of Yerusha. However, what we've been talking about until now, if in addition to the value of the million $10, there was a plus another dinner, the first five will go and take their million. The second five will take their $10. And the moise dinner, they'll split up among the ten equally. Very good. Now, what happens if it's taka worth exactly $1,000,010? And the first five Yorushim are saying, hey, because of that one moise, that lousy moise dinner, we're going to lose out on this million. Now, it's not pshat that they can go and throw in a dinner and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to take out of my pocket a dinner. I'm going to be mafkered to my father's estate. And now the estate has an extra moise. You can't do that. But what you can do, l'choyre, is go to an appraiser. And you say to the appraiser, you see this property? How much would you appraise it for? $1,000,000. I want you to appraise it at $1,000,000 plus a dinner. So the appraiser will say, how much are you paying me? If you give me a moise dinner, I'll go and add to the appraisal of the moise dinner. In other words, the appraiser will appraise it for whatever you ask him to appraise it, as long as it's when normal bounds. Obviously, he's not going to do a crazy appraisal, otherwise he'll lose his reputation.
The dinner is very gornish. There's always a shekel at that.
Exactly. So therefore, what happens if the yesoimim say, anachnu malam al nichse avinu, yes, yafei dinner, kedeshiyitlu ksuvas iman. What happens if they say, we value this property, or we'll get an appraiser to value this property, so that it should be worth one dinner more? Ain't shem lehem, we don't listen to them. Elishem deschosm bezin, let the bezin do an honest third party appraisal, no favoritism, no negias, and if it turns out that you have taka $1,000,000 plus 10, plus a moise dinner, then each one gets a ksuvas banan dichron. If it's exactly $1,000,000 plus 10, and there's no moise dinner, then they'll have to be cholkin b'shav, and you can't do this. Malim will appraise it for one dinner more.
Why can't they say we'll take the dichron one dinner less? $1,999.
Yeah.
We're still there.
It's a good to eat sell, but the mass, it doesn't work. I mean, you're right. They should go and say, we'll mavater on that one. We'll leave it, we'll give it. So we should go and split it among the ten. And you can't do that, because otherwise you defeat this halacha.
Exactly. We don't listen to any kind of time.
Otherwise, this whole Mishnah wouldn't apply.
In other words, the state exists.
Every single time you have Yorshim where it's going to be exactly the same amount, you can always have that the Yorshim, they're going to get the larger amount, will say, you know what, we'll be mavater, one dinner, five dinner, 20 dinner, 100 dinner, so that there should be extra dinner. Can't do it. How Yorshim nechosim b'ro'oi, einan kimemuchzik. What happens, although at the time when the father died, they are nechosim b'ro'oi. What means nechosim b'ro'oi? Says Rashi, Lamushal, the father died, but there's still a grandfather around. And that grandfather's already 119 years, and they expect it's only a question of time until he's going to pass away. And he had in his estate at least a moise dinner, perhaps even $1,000,000. The point is, that when he passes away, then that's going to fall into the estate. You know what? Let's wait. We don't have to divide up the estate now. Let's wait until Zaidi passes away, and then we'll have Bokshim another $1 million, and of course Mashiach comes in between, and then the thing, then it doesn't happen. But the point is that you have Nechosim Beroi. Beroi means that they're not here yet, but we know it's destined to happen sooner or later. It's anticipated. Oh! You cannot use those nechasim either. In other words, you take a snapshot of what happened at the time the father passed away. Whatever's there is there. Whatever's not there is not there. 2 days later, something comes in. This is good. It's got to be at the time that he passed away. We're going to talk about shortly in the Gemara what happens if the value went up or down in between the Misa and the time of the allocation. We're going to talk about that shortly.
Because there was a shum and a ksuba. So...
The shum,
you make a new shuma now from what's left over.
Yeah,
it may not be the same nechasim.
Your question: how much it's worth now at the time of the p'tira?
That's right.
This is Reb Shimon we had on the top of the amud that the moisa din has got to be davka karka and not metalton. Reb Shimon Oimer, afilu yeshim nechasim she'ena machrayis. Even if you have lots of additional moisa dinners. A whole bunch
money
of
money in the bank.
Exactly. A whole bunch of noisy coins that are much more than a moisa dinner. It doesn't help. It's got to be that the moisa dinner is in the form of karka, not in the form of clanging coins.
How can we possibly entertain Rav Shimon with say metalton if he says the fairish in the Mishnah?
That was the Gemara's kashya, the third line. Exactly. Instead of talking about $1 million and talking about $10, lezu elef ulezu chamish meis.
They didn't have a sogas of $1 million.
The first one had $1,000, the second one had $500. Now this halacha is going to be, this price is going to be like we learned in our Mishnah. If when the father passed away there was an estate of $1,000 plus $500 plus a moisa dinner, then the 1,000 guys will get the 1,000 and the other guys will get the 500 and they'll split up the moisa dinner. Vimlav, if there is no moisa dinner, Yechliku B'Shav, you have to take the whole 1,500 and split it among all 10. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, Nushtiko. Pshita Merubin V'Nismatu. What happens if at the time when the father passed away, they were Nechosim Merubin, meaning that the appraised value of the Nechosim was 1,500 plus a moisa dinner, so there was enough to cover both Ksuvas Ban and Dichru. However, by the time they sat down to subdivide it, the Nismatu, the value had gone down. In other words, real estate, just like stocks go up and go down, real estate can go up and go down. So it went down. So what's the din now? Do we say, oh, since now it's only 1,400, it's no longer 1,500, now let's split it across the board? Or the first Yashim say, now come on. At the time he died, it was $1,000. It's my fault it went down to 950, 900. I want to get, what's the halacha? Kvar zochem and yorshim. Then the yorshim already zochem, meaning that the yorshim of the larger ksuba were already zoche in their chalik. And even though it went down in value, it makes no difference. They get their, the larger chalik. And the second group of Yerushim...
The loss they have to...
Of course, you know, unless you are willing to write a check and throw in some extra money. So don't split it, 1,400 across the board, each one of the 10 getting $140, but rather the 1,400 will probably do 950 for the first five, and 450 for the other. In other words, work it out mathematically to go and split it up among the 10 Yerushim. Okay, what happens to Punk Faket? Originally, when he passed away... I know the Lashon of the Gemara sounds Merubin, that there were lots of Nechosim in the Smato, and then somehow they got stolen, they fell apart, they were lost, they were sold. But actually we're talking about Shuma. Merubin the Smato means we started off was worth 1,500, and then by the time they divided up, they come to Bezer, it was only worth 1,400. Now it could be the other way around. Muwatin, at the time the father passed away, is only worth 1,400. Vinisrabu now became worth 1,500. Ah, so because it's now 1,500 plus a moisa dinner, maybe we should be mekayim the din of Ksuvas Ban and Dichrim. What's the din? It's Hashema. We tak had such a case. The Nechsi Debei Bar Tzirtzur. Mr. Bar Tzirtzur, his Nechosim was mamish that case. Mu'atim. At the time of his death, there was a low point in the market and the real estate. And by the time, a month later, a year later, when they split it all up, Vinisrabu, Baruch Hashem, went up, and now it's 1,500. Half plus a moisa dinner. V'asal kamei de Rav Amram. They went in front of Rav Amram. It's Om Lahu, Zilu, Paisinu. Let's go and be Mephias them. Now, who should be Mephias whom? What he's saying is, let the young, the ones that have the smaller ksuba, go over to the guys that have the big ksuba, and make goody-goody with them, and say, come on, we're brothers, and no, let's split it all up. Taka went up in price. No. And the ones that own the ksuba doyla didn't look at them and say, mister, friends is friends, and good is good, but money is money, we're taking the ksuba doyla. Because at the time that father passed away, we want to get the large, really was Mu'at min Isra'bu, we want the large ones. Amalahu, so he said to them, Ilim afasisa lahu, machin lahu, besilu delaymave doma. If you, the guys that are the ones that own the ksuba doyla, if you're not going to be willing to go and share it with the others, I'm going to go and put on you, machin lahu, I'm going to, literally means I'm going to hit you. The silo means a thorn, where it doesn't cause any running of blood. Of course, this is a euphemistic term. What do you mean? If you stick somebody with a thorn, of course there's going to be blood. What does that mean? Says Rashi, what it really means is, I'm going to put you in shamta v'nidui. In other words, I want you to go and work it out, so that in fact they should go and split it up. Shadrin the commander of Nachman, so now he, Rav Amram, sent these Yorshim to the front of Rav Nachman. Omulahen. So Rav Nachman said to them, Kishem Shemarubin Vesmatu Zochu Behen Yorshim, Kach Muatim Nisrabu Zochem Yorshim. In other words, in all cases, you look at the time of the Petira. The time of the Petira, that's the determining factor. It's not a question of equitable, of Rachmanis. All a question, you take a snapshot at the time of the death. If at that time, when the father passed away, they were Merubin, even though they went down in price, makes no difference, the Ksuvas Banan Dichron applies, and the first group will get a larger amount, the second group will get a smaller amount, and vice versa. If you start off Muatim in Israel,
so there was no Banan Dichron.
Exactly, so if it was originally Muatim, therefore there wasn't enough for Ksuvas Banan Dichron, even though afterwards it went up in price, makes no difference, everybody shares and shares alike across the board. Look, Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to have a series of Haugavras, a series of cases. Case number one, Haugavra Dama Maski Bey Alfa Zuzi. There was a person that owed 1,000 Zuz. Havale Treya Patni. He owned 2 apartments, 2 houses, 2 mansions, 2 pieces of property.
You could have said mansions.
Mansions, okay. It doesn't have to be a mansion in Hansi Gesteiger. It was better, it was larger than a sicker, you know.
Sir, did every gazook come over?
Yeah. Just a Yiddish mansions. And it probably means fancy.
A palace.
Okay. So he had 2 palaces, two houses. Zavinu, Chodah B'chodesh Meya, B'chodah B'chomesh Meya. And he sold 1 for 500 and sold the other 1 for 500. So now, of course, it's worth 1,000. He now has $1,000 proceeds. Okay, he sold the 2. What happened to the $1,000 proceeds? He gambled it away in Las Vegas. Kunish Kibbel. Okay. Also, Bal Choiv. Now the Bal Choiv comes and he says to the Hugavra that owed the money, no, pay me. The Hugavra had Nishke Geld. But he had these 2 properties that he owned, which he sold. So therefore, they're Mishubadim. So, Mishubadim, he's allowed to collect. He's allowed to collect both of them. Because the Choiv was 1,000. Each one of the houses is worth 500. So, Torah for the Chodim Inayah, first he forecloses on property number 1, and now he's been paid his 500. Now he wants to go and take away the second property. The owner of the second property, and the Ritva says that, in fact, he sold both properties to 1 individual, which make lives easier. That purchaser bought both of the $500 houses. He already allowed for foreclosure on the first one, but he didn't want to lose the second one. Perhaps the second one was his residence. You know, the first one was the extra for the Bikur Cholim room for guests. But the second one he wants for himself. Anyway, bottom line is, the Bal Choyv already took away the first one. Hadakatar of Idach, he wanted to take away the second one. Shokal al Fazuzi. So now, the Loikeach, the one that had bought the 2 houses, took $1,000 in his hand. The Ka'ozul Agabe. And now he goes to the creditor who's trying to foreclose on house number 2. And Omale. So he says to him the following. Let's try to work out a deal. Ishabi lecha alfa zuzi. If the first house that you've already foreclosed upon, if that has the value to you of $1,000, in other words, if you're willing to accept that as the total payment on your choiv, lechaya, wonderful, I'm happy, you're happy.
Because we're finished.
Exactly. The loy, however, if you're not happy with that house, because you're telling me, come on, it's only worth 500, why should I be happy? You know what? Shokel alfa zuzi, here I have $1,000, the istalik, and then please leave both the first house and the second house. That's why the Ritva says it's easy if you're talking about one buyer, because otherwise, what shaykhus does he have to house number one that belongs to Smith and this belongs to Jones? So therefore, it's one Smith that bought both of them. Anyway, so bottom line is, he says to him, I give you a choice. Either take the first house, if you're happy with that, it's good. If not, you're not happy with that, I'm not surprised you're not happy.
You took away the first house.
Yeah, but if you're satisfied with that, and you're not going to bother me in house number two, then Safrin, Shulam Yisrael. However, V'iloi, but if you're not happy with that, then do me a favor. Shokel Al Fazuzi, here's $1,000, and now the istalik, and leave me alone, not only with respect to house number two, but also house number one. After all, you're only entitled to $1,000, so I'm giving you the full $1,000. So therefore, leave the scene and leave me with my two properties.
Really?
That's what he told him.
I thought that maybe he wanted to pay him extra to get rid of it.
No, not extra. He's saying the istalik and leave both properties. Leave me the first and the second.
Very good version.
That's what he wanted to do. Rather, whether or not a lekech is allowed to do that at the machloikis in the bavis, and they bring a raya from our gemara, meaning that is in fact a machloikis elsewhere in bamitziyatzavos. The gabe, you have such a situation where a creditor is collecting from mishubadim, whether the mishubadim have the right to go and say, leave us alone and here's the cash and leave us with the properties, or can a person says, la bal devarim didat, I don't know who you guys are, I just have a tana against the properties because I have a shibud based on my original shtar, and therefore I'm not going to talk to you, I'll talk to the karka. Karka, you belong to me, and you, karka, you belong to me. I'm not going to talk to you.
We saw him just a few, maybe a year ago, that Rava says he pekech umesalik lebezuzi.
That's what he's doing here. So this Gemara holds you can be mesalik lebezuzi, and therefore he gives him a choice, either just take the first house and leave me alone, oh, that's not enough, I give you $1,000, and now let me keep both houses. Okay. So now, why are we bringing this Gemara now? Because Rami Bar Chama Lemeimer Hayne Masnisin. Rami Bar Chama thought that this is identical to our Mishnah. What means identical to our Mishnah? Because it said in our Mishnah, Omri Yisoyim Hari Onu Malim Al Nechsi Avinu Yofa Dinner. We want to go and consider this property to be worth not just 1,500, not just 1,000, but 1,000 plus a dinner. And therefore now the holy Yerusha is now 1,500 plus a dinner, and now give us Aksilum Bar Nedichrin. You can't do that. So over here also the same thing. He's telling him, if you consider the first house to be worth 1,000, it's not worth 1,000, it's worth 500. How can you go and say that? And so therefore, l'choira, what this guy is saying is devarim b'talim v'talim, and you allow l'choira the creditor to go and foreclose on both properties. And not like this lekech is saying, either you take the first one and consider that to be $1,000, otherwise I redeem it and I'll give you $1,000 and goodbye, I give you in cash. No, Surah Muhammad says you can't do that. You can't go and imagine that the $500 property is worth $1,000, and therefore what he said is Vorm B'Talim, and the creditor can take over about that.
Like in the mission.
Ain't
so why is he entitled to the karka more than the cash value of it?
The svara would be because when I originally gave my loan, we wrote out in the shtar that if you, the loiva, don't pay me, then I have collateral. What's the collateral? These two pieces of property. Fine, so I'm taking my collateral. That was the original contract.
So he's not paying, but somebody else is paying him. I mean,
he's not. He wasn't the guarantor. He wasn't the kablon. So he wasn't an arid.
So he's coming in. He's stepping in. I'll be the guarantor. Why is
I don't want you to be a guarantor.
I want the card.
I have a halvua with Reb Pinchas, and I can't pay Reb Pinchas, whatever the situation is. And you don't want it to be chas v'shalom, any ill will between us, and you say, you know what, I'll go and pay it off and take care of it. I don't want you to pay it off. Get out of here. So you have this lekech. Lekech says, I'll pay off the chayv $1,000, just leave the second property for me. If you want the first one, take the first one, but that's it. You want to take both of them, here's $1,000, istalik. Says Reb Chama, you don't have the right to say it. I mean, you could say whatever you want, but halachically, you don't get it, and if the Baal Choyv wants to take both properties, he has the right to. That's what Rabbi Bechama wanted to say. I see Rabbi Yoin is not happy, and not only Rabbi Yoin, Rava wasn't happy either. And Rava had a relationship with Rabbi Bechama. It wasn't a brother-in-law, but it was a successor-husband relationship, right? It's Amalei Rava, so Rava said...
relationship.
Yeah, exactly. So said Rava to Rabbi Bechama. He was also his chavrusa, right? Midami, how can you compare the case of our Mishnah to our case over here? Hasam islu pseida liyasmi. Hachami isle pseida. Alpha Yoiv, the Alpha Shakel. What's Sigmar is saying? Rav is saying is in our Mishnah, the Yisoyimim of the larger Ksuba want to go and spoil the rights of and harm the rights of the second group of Yarshim. Because Min Hadin, the Chacham said, if the entire estate is 1,500, then everybody gets equally. So the 10 Yarshim, 1,500, everybody gets 150. But the first 5 Yarshim say, no, we want to go and split up our mother's $1,000 Yerusha, $1,000 Ksuba, and we want to get 200 each. It's only 1,500. We'll be Mal, we'll go and say that the property's worth not 1,000, it's worth 1,001. You can't do that. By doing that, you are adversely affecting other people's rights. Rava says over here, not affecting anybody's rights. This guy is entitled to $1,000. Alpha Yoiv gave 1,000, and the Lekech is willing to give him $1,000. Alpha Shakel, so he takes back 1,000. Sholem al Yisrael. He should be happy. He gave 1,000. The reason why he gave 1,000, not because he had in mind he wants to go and grab and foreclose these two properties. The reason why he gave $1,000 is because he went and did halva. The security, the collateral is these two properties. Not entitled to the two properties. He's entitled to 1,000. Okay, the Lekech gave him $1,000. So even though he told him by using the terms that if you want to consider the first property to be worth $1,000, that's yours. If not, I give you $1,000. It makes no difference. But bottom line is, there has not been any negative effect on the Leiva, on the Malva, I should say. True, the Malva hasn't gotten a windfall of being able to take real estate, but he gets $1,000 that he's entitled to. I gave it back to him. Therefore, Rava says, Romi Bar Chama, your life in the Mishnah really doesn't hold water. It's not the same. Yeah.
The truth is, it doesn't really have to be that it wasn't two stages. Mm-hmm. Even if the guy came over, give me your 2 houses, mm-hmm. it would be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm surprised the Gemara gives a case.
It's a kasha for Masa. This is what happened.
Who got it?
This is what happened. Who got it? Have a maskime. It wasn't that.
Smarter is no good.
Yeah, the chayr shouldn't be different. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So now we've taken care of the malva and the loiva. Now we're worried about the lekech. After all, the lekech, is crying that he lost money. The lekech, how much did the lekech lose? He had to pay out $1,000. Now the question is, how much can the lekech now go and collect? Okay, so now, is a machloik is exactly how to learn the next shtickle gemara, but the way the mafarshim explained to Rashi is that Rashi learns what happens if in fact the malva says, you know what, you keep the cash and I will take the first property. The first property is only worth 500. It's okay. As far as I'm concerned, it's such a beautiful palatz, such a beautiful mansion. I'm willing to take the first half of your offer. In other words, he offered it. Either take the first one and keep it, and that'll be the value of the 1,000 and beats of freedom. Or, no, you're not happy with one, then I give you $1,000 cash. Said, according to Rava, you can do that. You can give him the $1,000 and Shalom al Yisrael. But what happens if Taki didn't want the cash? He wanted the first property. He took the first property. Okay, so he took away the first property now. Now, the Lekeach, when he bought the property from the original Loive, he had in his shtar recourse. That if somebody takes away my property, I go back to you. So how much has been his loss now? Has his loss been a $500 loss, or has it been a $1,000 loss? So let's think about this. If you, depending on who you look at, is talk a different figure. In terms of the Lekeach, how much did he lose? By losing his first property, he lost a value of $500, because he paid $500 for it. And by the way, we're talking about a situation, Toys says, that it didn't go up in value, it's exactly the value that it was sold. Because if it went up in value, then they're a different dinim. Good. Anyway.
Just the fact that he paid more for it, though, means it went up in value.
That's the question now. The question is, now when the Lekeach goes back to the Loive, and he says, Loive, you owe me big time, because you sold me this property, and someone took it away from me, can he now go and only ask for 500, because that's how much he paid for it? I paid 500, get back 500. Or can he go and say to the Loive, I saved you $1,000, because you owed $1,000, and I took care of your choiv, and your choiv was 1,000. And must be why, because both I and the Malva agreed that this property should have deemed the value of $1,000, and therefore I want to collect from you 1,000, even though I'm only out of pocket 500, but since everybody's considering it now to be worth 1,000, I want to collect 1,000. And I saved you $1,000, because you, if you had to go and pay in cash, you'd have to pay 1,000. I was in a salik, I took care of it. Now he said, I'm moichel everybody, and he signed the dotted line, and you're off the hook, so I saved you 1,000. So the question is, the tirfa, the kama kosvinan, tirfa, says Rashi, means, ishtar tifa, that any time mishubadim was taken away, was foreclosed upon by a malva, and now the lekeach wants to go back to the loyva to get paid, that ishtar tifa become a kosvinan. How much are you going to write? Ravina Omer Ba'alva. He saved him $1,000. That was $1,000 choyv. He gets the rights 1,000. Rav Avira Omer B'chamishmei, he only gets 500. What's the halacha v'hilchasa? B'chamishmei, he only gets 500. Which, of course, is, I think, more mistaver, because his loss was, it's almost like a zenen of zelechosa. He got zenen, he got his $500 back, he's tefreden, that's how much I paid, that's how much you get back. And zelechosa, he's also very happy that Baruch Hashem, he only was able to go and get rid of this debt for $500 instead of paying $1,000. Why should the lekeach go and get extra because he saved the other guy money? Shkoyach, I'm going to give you a nice zilgun abecha l'kovid yontev. I'm going to give you a nice present. You're a nice guy. I'm going to buy you shishi and shul on yontev. All very nice, but you're not entitled to more than 500 because that's how much you paid, and I gave, and you got back 500. No lady. And now we have a virtually identical case. It's similar to the Gemara we had a few days ago. We had three cases in a row which are identical. The next case is virtually identical. Instead of a case of 1,000, it was 100. And he owed $100. And Havalei Trei Ketina Diara. He didn't have two big mansions, because you can't have a mansion for $100. So he had two small little fields. And guess what? Chazavin B'chamshin, B'chazavin B'chamshin. Each one was worth 50, and he sold the two, again, presumably to the same purchaser. So the Lekeach bought two pieces of property, 50. 50 and 50. And guess what happened? Also Baal Choyv Tarvel Chad Minayu. The Baal Choyv came, he took away property number one. Hodas v'katarif li'idach. And now he wanted to go and take away the second property. First one was worth 50, second worth 50, the two together is worth 100. So guess, by now you should know the lines of the second one. Shokol Kuf Zuzi. So now the Lekeach that owned the two properties, he went and took $100 cash. Because Legabay. And he goes now to the foreclosing Malve. V'omalei. Ishav Yilcha. If the first property that you already took in hand was worth to you Kuf Zuzi, and you're willing to foreclose on that, and Shalom Yisrael, and you're finished. L'chai, wonderful. Then we're done. The Eloi, however, you say, no, I dafka want both properties, because this one's only worth 50. You know what? Shkoyl Kuf Zuzi here, here's $100 in cash. The Stalik can leave me both properties, property number one and property number two, and you got back your $100. And guess what happened? So Rav Yosef Lameimar, now this is a different man than before, it was Rami Bachama, now it's Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef Lameimar, Haina Masnesen. What it's in the Mishnah, Mama Yisoyimim, Vachuli. You remember what it's in the Mishnah. If the Yisoyimim said that we're going to value it at being one moisa dinner, nah, ain't Shaim Lehem. See here too, if you want to go and value this property at 100, you can't go and do this, only worth 50. And therefore, let the loiva, not the loiva, let the malva say to their fellow, good try, but lamasa, I'm not accepting what you're saying, I'm taking both properties away, and I'm not interested in the cash. L'choyra, says Rav Yosef, the malva wins, and the lekeach loses. Abaye says, how can you compare me, dummy? Hasim Islup Saidaliyas. In the case of our Mishnah, if you're going to go and value it by one more dinner, then the other Yisrael are going to lose out. Hachamai Pseidislai. Here, the Malva Mei Yoiv, he gave $100. Mei Shalvi takes back $100. Same situation as before. Now the question again is, Vitirva Bakama Kosvina. So now, here's the pellet. The Shita Mikabesa says that the fact that the Gemara brings two cases, one back to back, it's telling us that this Machloikas was not only Rami Bacham and Rava, it's also Machloikas Rav Yosef and Abaya, and we see in both cases that the final Mandi Omer said that there's no parallel between us, so we're just trying to reinforce that this was something that was discussed.
Rava Abaya Damari Tavai, they're the same
thing. Oh, to say.
Just rare.
But what is Shver says the Shita, I don't understand, now we're saying the Tifa Bekama Kosvinan, now we're bringing the same Mandi Omer as before. It was all to be for Ravina and Rav Avira, where Ravina said before Ba'alfa and Rav Avira said B'chamish Meya. Again, the same thing. Ravina Omer B'Meya, Rav Avira Omer B'chamshin, 100, and this is 50. Again, the same type of Shaila. Be'elchaz B'chamshin, like the Gemara said before. So, bottom line is, it's the same as we had before. Okay. Mushtiko. Ahu Gavro David Maski Be Meya Zuzi. Person owed 100. Shachiv. Shavak Ketina De'ara, the Havishavya Chamshin Zuzi. This person that owed $100, he passed away, and he left over karka of $50. And we know that Metaltli Diyasmi Le Mishtavdi Le Balchoiv, if you have a Balchoiv of an estate, you only have to pay him from real estate. That doesn't apply today, Dalacha. We're talking about the times of Chazal. The Tosis brings a few times in our Masechta that the Goyim were Masakin in later years that Metalpin, cash, Karkets, all the same. But at times of Chazal, that wasn't the case. And so therefore, you're trying to go and collect now from the Karkets. He only has one piece of Karkets, which is worth 50. Okay, so the Baal Chayv comes on the scene. They tell him, yeah, there's plenty of cash, but there's only one property of $50. Also, Baal Chayv, he took away the property of $50. Now, the Yisraelim weren't happy about that. Perhaps that was their only field, that was their only house, had sentimental value, and they want it back.
When he took the 50, he took this on the assumption that they agreed that that would be the final payment.
No. He was hoping that eventually that he'd find some other character. In other words,
when they gave the 50...
They gave the $50 property. He foreclosed on that.
He
went to court and he foreclosed on that $50 property. And they would like to get it back. So also Yasmi, Yahavale Chamshin Zuzi. They went over to him, they said, we just learned in the previous Gemaras that Rava in the first case and Abai in the second case said, yeah, that the Lekeach can go and redeem the property and take it back from the loiva. We're going to do the same thing. You, Malve, you went and took away the property, you, the Baal Chayv, we're going to go and pay you the $50 and give it back to us. Okay. The Kachava. He took the $50 and gave him back the property. Now that they have the property back, guess what he did? He went back. There's a property in the estate of $450, a new property.
Wait, it's not the debt's still alive and finished collecting.
Exactly. So now he got paid $100.
And his full payment.
That's what the guy did. So therefore, now he's got paid $100. He's got $50 in cash. He's got $50 the same property again. Also, becoming the buy that came from the buy. Omer lehen, mitzal yisem lifroya choiv avihen. There's a mitzal on the yisem to go and pay off the choivus of their father, and therefore, even though there is no absolute right for the Baal Choyv to take cash, but there is a mitzvah on the assignment to go and pay.
They had money, and they paid it.
And therefore, hanikamoy, mitzvah of diso. What you did by redeeming your property and taking it back, in a sense, what you did was, you were mekayim this mitzvah, paying $50 on behalf of your father to try to clear your father's name, that people shouldn't go and say, Smith died and he left over all these choyvis and all these people never got bitter, they never got paid. So hanikamoy, mitzvah of diso. The fifth 50 were paid for the mitzvah. Hashta kitarif. Now when he comes the second time, it's as if he's coming the first time. But then kitarif. Because this property still has the lien from the original shtar choiv, and so therefore you were nice guys, you did a beautiful job in paying the $50, but now he's still entitled to get the property, so he did the right thing. But now either Abai or the Gemara adds, it depends on the legalese, on the terms. Faloya Moran, when do we say this? It depends what they said. It's talking about says he might deloy amrulay. They did not tell him that the reason why we're giving this 50 is because we want to buy back this property. Avul amrulay, had they told him, hani chamshin zuzit may arakatina, had they used these words, even though in both cases that was their intent, because they said to him, here's $50, and he gave him back the property, and then he foreclosed on it a second time. But the question is, did they use those words? If they use those words, hani chamshin zuzit may arakatina, saluki salkua, then they got him out of the field, and now it belongs to them totally, and he cannot collect a second time. What's going on over here? It's very simple. Every Baal Choyv has the right to, if he doesn't get paid his cash, he has the right to go and exercise his lien on a property. So let's talk about a normal case. Smith and Jones, there was a $100 loan, the guy's not paying him back, and the second fellow goes and says, I foreclosed on the property, and now he owns the property. He foreclosed, like a bank forecloses on property. Rahman Lutzlan. Good, now it belongs to him. And then he subsequently goes and sells it to anybody. He can sell it back to the original owner, he can sell it back to the third party, to Rosenberg, to Greenberg, to McGillicuddy, anybody sells the property. Does the original lien of the original Choyv still travel on this property? No, that was already satisfied by the fact that he foreclosed on it. Ah, Zokti Mara, if the assignment come to him and say, you foreclosed on the property, we know, and now it's yours, and therefore the old Shtar Choyv is dead because you've exercised your lien. Now it's clear title, and therefore I buy this property. It's not like anybody else buying the property. Now it's clear. It's no longer part of the father's estate.
It doesn't have a
Meshubit. It's just like the Yorshim buy brand new property. It never belongs to the father.
Why should he agree to such a thing?
What, whether he should agree or shouldn't agree. He says, "Abaye." It depends on how they phrase it.
Yeah.
So if they did it in a clever way that they said that the reason why they're doing it is to redeem the property that you already foreclosed, it's yours. I agree, it's yours. You had the right, and I'm buying it back from you. Then they would not be able to go and be toyed a second time. But if they didn't say those words, so therefore he's still in the, if you will, the process of foreclosing, even though he's taken the property. But if they didn't say the words that the reason why we're doing it is now to buy it from you because you're already foreclosed, so what they can do is they can stop the foreclosure, so to speak, in the middle and say, here's the money, don't foreclose. Oh, fine, I'll take the money. And I'll foreclose tomorrow a second time because the property still has that original lien from the original shtachat. So it works. Depends on how you worked out the details.
Get a good lawyer.
Oh, to say. I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to say it. That's many Dorish, yeah. Anyway, next shikul. Ahu Gavra. This is the final case for today. Ahu Gavra, the Zavna, the Ksuvasa, the Ime, the Toivis Hanor. What is all of this about? Rashi himself has two pshatim. We'll learn with the first pshat that it's talking about that you have a person and he has his mother, and the mother, Baruch Hashem, is gezint and fine and vile, and he knows that eventually the father is going to die. Or Rashi says it doesn't have to be a father. It could be a second husband is going to die. And then there's going to be a ksuba for his mami. And then eventually his mother is going to die. And he is going to be the yoidish of that ksuba. Now notice you have to have two things happening for him to yashin that ksuba. Number one, that the husband has to die first. So therefore she's entitled to a ksuba. And that she should die subsequently. And he's going to yashin the ksuba. We'll assume that he's the only yoidish. There are no other brothers. There could be 12 sisters, but he's the only son. And he's going to go and get the yoshin. So this guy is obviously very desperate for funds. So he goes over to Mr. Jones and says, "Mr. Jones, I have for you what an investment. Look at this ksuba. I'm going to sell it to you." Now, what's the likelihood that he himself would ever receive that ksuba? You have to have at least two things happening. First, the husband has to die, and then his mother's going to die, and then he would receive the ksuba. But apparently, this was enough for Jones, and Jones said, "For such a $200 ksuba, I'll give you $10 because there's a good chance he'll die, she'll die, and you'll get it." Okay. V'kachav. V'kachav d'zamun ksuvasa d'imei. He sold not the ksuba of his mother, his right to receive the ksuba of his mother after his mother died. But there's no mean metakleinekite. Because how much can you get for something like that? That's, you know, it's so remote. And it might happen 100 years from now. Who knows? But there's no. However, when he sold it, he said, "This is a non-recourse type of sale." Meaning, what happens if my mother, who's a laboring zinza until 120, she's going to go and hear about the fact that I went and sold the right to Yash and her ksuba? She might be very angry. What, Sonny? You're already thinking about that daddy's going to die, or my husband's going to die, and then I'm going to die, and then you're going to yarish, and you're already selling it. Come on! So if she's going to be ma'arer, and somehow or other win and get this sale voided, it's non-recourse, no achrayis, I'm not going to save the day, I'm not going to give you a penny. And the other guy says to himself, why should the mother be ma'arin? Fine, no problem.
I'm only giving, even worth less, man.
Yeah, so I'll give you $5, $3, whatever he paid. I must.
If she's ma'arin, what can she do to inhibit him from inheriting?
Whether she has grounds or doesn't have grounds, the point is this is a non-recourse sale. It's like you when you go and buy something.
Not a sale, no returns.
No returns, no refunds, no returns. If you find afterwards there are three holes in the pants, you should be very happy they're holes because that's fashionable today that you go and buy pants
the
with holes in already.
And sell it to somebody else.
Yeah. Okay. This one. Okay, but she can only sell it.
She can sell it. Okay. And then this guy gets nothing.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. Limar doesn't go into all the details. All he said is non-recourse. He asked, and that's what's written in the shtar. If she's not ma'ara, lemavtina. If she is ma'ara, and somehow or other she wants to take it away, and you worry, you have to hire lawyers. No indemnity. No guarantees. No recourse. The final sale, it's yours. Okay. Shchiva imei v'le'ira. He had a nice idol, a mother, and she eventually, the husband passed away, and now the mother passed away, and she was never ma'arer on it, as everybody had assumed, because probably there were no grounds, whatever. And guess what? And now, at this point, who is supposed to get the ksuba? The son is supposed to get, or the lekeach says, I bought it from the son. And he says that although my mother was ma'arer, but I yarshin all of my mother's rights. And now I'm going to be ma'arer. Now, what would the grounds be that I'm going to be ma'arer? Says Rashi, he's going to go and say, I couldn't have sold it to you in the first place. It was a davar shelo bal olam. And ichle yichaltnish vezer ameir. Ameir holds you can be makdav shelo. Exactly. Yichaltnish is right. Ain't on a makdav davar shelo zacha. It doesn't belong to me. It didn't even belong to mommy. It belonged to that stranger that was married to mommy. And therefore, what I sold is so remote. Davar shelo bal olam. Twice. The father was still alive and the mother was still alive.
Give you back the money, please.
Oh, I'm in it. And he says, I am now being ma'arer, and therefore I'm not going to allow you to go and get the ksuba, because the davar shelo bal olam. So you're going to say, okay, fine, he won't get the ksuba, but at least give me back my $10 or my $5 that I paid for originally. No, it's not recourse. I said, I'm not going to pay you back the $10, even though I'm the one that's ma'arer. So therefore, Savar Rabbi Chama LeMeimar, and the reason, by the way, why they would bring this Gemara is because we had before the dispute between Rabbi Bar Chama and Rava. So even though the fact pattern has nothing to do with what we learned before, but it's another Rabbi Bar Chama and Rava rivalry, if you will, the Chavrusis, and eventually one husband, second husband. Yeah, exactly. He filled the shoes of his mommy, and just like when the mommy, if she had been Ma'ar, I took it on non-recourse, and therefore, if somehow or other you would have lost the rights to the ksuba, I wouldn't have to pay you back your lousy $10. So even though I'm the one that's being ma'ar, I'm also not going to return to your lousy $10, and therefore, sorry, you get nothing. A tremendous chutzpah.
He's asking for mercy.
We should throw this guy out of the Mesmerish. We should throw him out of the Gemara. Amalei Rava, says Rava, I'm sorry, Rava Bachama. This is the second time I have to disagree with you today. Non-recourse vis-a-vis the mother. That if the mother would have been ma'ar, he said, non-recourse on me. Mask him. But achrayz diday milay kavel, on his own, going and attacking the sale and saying, I didn't have the right to go and sell it, and therefore I'm being ma'ar, and I'm not allowing the sale to go through. On that, it's also non-recourse. The non-recourse was on if a third party challenged, like the mother. But if you yourself are going to challenge it, then you have to go and pay back.